I have received your praise today, my people. Reach to heaven. It surrounds my throne today. On this Pentecost day, I want more of your praise. And Jesus wants it as well. Oh God, we thank you for that, Lord. You know, when I was standing over here, I was saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? He says, I want your praise. I want your praise. I don't want to end the praise. I want the outpouring of your praise. I said, okay. So I started looking at the song list from today, and there's the song that says praise. And I said, God, what do you want to do? He says, I'll speak to you what I want you to do. I said, okay. You know, that's a lot of faith, church. That's a lot of faith. I walk up here and all of a sudden God speaks to the unbeliever. We interpret to the believer, those in attendance that know the power of Pentecost today. So church, the youth has already led the way and praised around the altar. I say we come around the altar. We do what heaven needs us to do, wants us to do. Give him praise today, church. let me set the stage for you on a Pentecost Sunday today. Pastor Mike was giving you a great overview. Let me go just a little deeper for a minute. Can you imagine spending a bunch of time with Jesus? The Bible says his public ministry was 3 years. People hanging around Jesus, you know, the disciples learning and being taught and watching and being amazed. And he watched their Savior, the King of the world, be crucified, and he rose again. We celebrated Easter 50 days ago, because the day of Pentecost falls 50 days after Easter in the timeline. That's today. So we celebrate. And after 40 days after Jesus rose, right? And he came back and celebrated with many, over 500, for 40 days. And then as he's going to ascend to the right hand of the Father, the Bible says, he gave a command. Remember the command? Go into the city and do exactly what humans don't like to do. Wait. Wait for what? Go into the city and wait for the promise of the Father. What's the promise of the Father? Go into the city and wait. For 10 days, the time elapsed. They're into the city and they're waiting for this thing, right? Whatever it may be, they're waiting. The Bible says the power of heaven showed up like a blowing wind, like a freight train. Tongues of fire settled on people, right? The Bible says. And people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did they do? They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Like you just heard today. Many denominations are moving in America, throughout the world, don't believe that anymore. I believe it. The Bible says I am good yesterday, today, and forever. I just believe it. The power of God showed up on that Pentecost Sunday, and somebody gets up and leaves and starts to preach. Who was that? Peter starts to preach, right? And Luke starts to write it down. Acts. The Bible says 3,000 people got saved that day, right then and there. But then there's this scripture we're going to learn here in a few minutes. It's this few words in the scripture. It says, and for those who believe, that means some of them did not. How could you not? God showed up, tongues of fire settling on people. This there's chaos going on. There's the power of God is sweeping. And the Bible says, for those who believed, move to the next step. We're going to learn about that in a few minutes. Church, don't let that be the you. Don't you be the one that says, I don't believe. Because the whole reason he sent the Holy Spirit was to do exactly what we're preaching on each week. It's a recharge. It's a refilling. It's the power of heaven that shows up to hydrate you, to fill you, to sustain you, to change you from where you're at to where you're going to be. You have access today. Somebody say access. You've got access to heaven today. We believe that the Father in heaven comes in, what? God comes in three forms, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? We believe that as a Pentecostal church. That's called the what? The Trinity. Boy, we like the power of heaven. Do we not like the power of heaven? I've seen miracles in my day. I pray you have too. Church, be the person that accepted the power that day and not the person who did not. I promise you, you'll be rewarded greatly. You have access to God's power today. Let's go to the throne of the living God and just say, Lord, thank you. Father God, I just say thank you. Lord God, that my name was on your mind that day. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that many years later we could call upon the name of the Lord and still call down heaven, call down your power, Lord God, to do what we need help with in this day and age. And Lord God, we need your power more than ever, Lord God. Father God, send your power today. You know my heart, Lord God. Father, send that power today for everyone in this sanctuary that needs it. Lord, all of us, send that power. For those watching online that need the power, all of them, send it, Lord God, on Pentecost Sunday. Give us an outpouring. The scripture says you poured it out. Oh, Lord God, pour it out today. Rivers of living water once again, Lord God. Let this church experience what campuses of colleges throughout the nation are experiencing. You are now pouring out your power, Lord. You saw that only 3% of the younger generation was coming hard after you, and you decided, I'm going to pour out my power, Lord God. Let Cross Point Church be in the crosshairs of heaven today, Lord. Oh God, oh God. Lord God, we need the poured out power today. Lord God, let us receive it. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Give him another praise today, church. Hallelujah, Lord. If you're going back to your seat, grab somebody and say, I want the power of Pentecost Sunday poured out to me today. Good morning, Cross Point Church. Now, you're going to see something here that you have not seen for a long, long time, right? If you were here in the church about a year ago, my wife and I used to do the announcements, right? We're going to try this just for this Sunday, right? Just, you know, yeah, we're just going to do this. We're trying some new things. This is not going to be the new thing we stick with, right?
I hope not.
No, exactly. I don't want to do this. Welcome to Cross Point Church,
yes,
my dear.
Yes, welcome again this morning. My name is Nicole, Pastor Nicole, for those of you who don't know me. And if you are a first-time guest or visitor in the building or online, welcome. We are so blessed to have you here.
Yes.
So thankful you chose to join us this morning, and we want to get to know you. We want to connect with you. So there's several ways you can do that through the digital Connect card. There is a QR code now on the seat back in front of you. You can scan that with your phone, or you can scan the QR code in your bulletin, or if you're watching online, you can scan the QR code online there as well, or you can go to our website. We want to connect with you. And then you can also go out to the VIP Center after the service this morning to do the same thing if you can't figure out any of that technology. We want to know you. We want to connect with you. We want to get to meet you as well. And if you are in the building, if this is your first time here today, we do have a special gift we want to bless you with. It's a gift box with some goodies and a Chick-fil-A gift card in there. So you want to take that QR code. After you've scanned that, go out to the VIP Center. Again, if you can't figure out how to do it, they will show you there. But again, thank you for joining us. And as Pastor Mike and I always say, if you do not have a church home, we would ask you to prayerfully consider making Cross Point your home. We would love to have you as part of our church family here. Oh, this is me too. Okay. So see, we're out of practice. So there are several ways that we honor God with the command he gives us in his word to give our first 10% to him. So there's a couple ways you can give here at church. The first, again, there's a QR code on the front of your bulletin that you can scan and give that way. You can download our Church Center app. Many of you have done that, and it'll give you instructions on how to give there. You can go to our website at cpoint.church. Or again, if you hate all technology and you want to do it the old-fashioned way, there are giving stations as you leave the sanctuary this morning, the worship center this morning, and you can drop your check or cash or whatever you want to bless the Lord with this morning in those giving stations. So, whew, I made
Amen.
It.
I can't believe.
I'm out of practice.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think you're out of practice at all. In fact, why don't you just go ahead and finish
no,
the rest
no. My name was only on those first two.
All right. So, listen. No, Pastor Mike didn't get fired from announcements. Yeah, right. We're just trying some things.
He was hoping.
Yes, he is hoping. Really, he is. We're just doing some things throughout the summer. You'll see some different things in our service each week, maybe, and just trying some things. But we had some things going on today. We thought this would help a little bit. But don't forget, church, this Wednesday is our summer journey night. And we've got a lot going on in the building. You've heard that. And you can check your bulletin today. Check the website, Facebook page. You know, lots still going on Wednesday night. The programs are still here. We're not having the meal, of course, on at 6 o'clock, but there is 7 o'clock CR and a bunch of things going on in the building. The kids' programs are still going on. I love it when we talk about taking the summer break, and our leaders and our children's and our youth program says, no, we don't want a break. I appreciate that. Thank you for those leadership. And we have a small group, adult Bible study going on, and it's quite full. So if you're here in the building on a Wednesday night, feel welcome to do that. Now, next week, next Sunday, is a great day in our house. It's just a great day all around. I heard it's Father's Day.
Woohoo! Give it up for our dads.
Yeah, Father's Day next week. It's Father's Day.
And you get to grill.
I get to grill?
How does that work out?
I get to work?
Yeah.
I thought Zach was grilling.
Well, you both are.
I didn't know that. Great.
There's a little work.
There's a little work, right. Well, there's a lot of people to grill for.
Yes.
But Zach's so much better than me.
He grills with love.
He grills that's a lot better than I do. So that's Father's Day. Membership Sunday is next week. And what does that? We haven't really talked a lot about that, but here's what we're going to do. If you have been taken into membership, did I got that right? Pastor Christine, scream at me. Thank you. I just got to look to them. I don't know what's going on. So Membership Sunday, if you have been brought in as member of this church, and there's quite a few of you, you know, we want to publicly recognize you. So if that is you, please, please let the resource station out in the lobby know that that is you. We've got quite a few people that are, you know, this. We're going to put you on a list, but regardless if that's you, we're going to recognize you next week. We're just going to have you come up and sing a song or two, or, you know, I think one of you gets selected to preach that day or something like that, but we just want to recognize you. But I know there's a handful, there's more than a handful, I think there's quite a few of you that you were brought into membership. You know exactly who you are. We're just going to recognize you next week. And next week is the baptism class that I will be leading at 9 o'clock. Yep, we're going to have Baptism Sunday 2 weeks from today. We love Baptism Sunday here, but you'll need to go through a class. You'll need to sign up at the Resource Center out in the lobby. Let us know that you want to be baptized. You'll have to be here at 9 o'clock sharp in the conference room down the main hall to my right, to your left, and you'll find the words conference room, a conference, Greater Life conference room, I believe exactly what it is. So you'll be in there at 9 o'clock for 45 minutes just to go through your baptismal class, okay? That's what we're doing. Anything else? You can check your bulletin that will itemize and give you all the information. Don't go anywhere, dear. Okay. You'll see everything. Again, Facebook page, our website at seapoint.church is a great place to get things, but Facebook page especially, right? We have a special day here today. Not only is Pentecost Sunday, but we want to recognize some people today. We want to recognize some people that have done some things that many of us have already done, and some of you have not, and that's they've graduated. They've graduated. Now, it's really a unique graduation Sunday. We have no high school graduates. That is like, I'm not sure. I remember that we've not had high school graduates, but we have college graduates today. And we have three college graduates that are so blessed to have spent $100,000 or more in college education, right, to get a college degree, and some are moving on to furthering their education to master's and beyond, which will cost them another $100,000 or $200,000, right? But we want to honor them today because they should be honored, right? So we're going to start. Now, we're going to do this, and Nicole is holding a fire Bible. We had some fire Bibles brought in, and we have had the names of each graduate embossed on the fire Bible to bless them today. And we're going to ask them to come up individually, and I'm also going to ask them to speak to what their next plans are. We're going to ask them to give us a sermon of an hour or less. Of where you're headed. Now, I say that in jest, but, you know, all three of them can do that, right? They can speak and teach and whatnot. So we're going to have you come up today. Now, the first one I'm going to call up is somebody that came to our church a few years ago from Malone University. And she has been here for a number of years. She's helping with our youth program right now. We had a terrible time getting her to turn in her information. But she did it. So as she comes to the platform, church, welcome Malone graduate, Caitlin Taylor. I told Caitlin to wear flats today, and she did. No, I didn't. Thank you so much. She is such a blessing. There's her Bible. Here's your microphone. Tell us where you're headed. Now, I know what's going on, but let everybody know what you're doing.
All right. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for this. I am currently just staying in the area at the moment and working, but I am really, really hoping to apply and go to a conservation-based internship later on to get more experience and then eventually, you know, go into conservation as a field. And my dream goal would be to go to Africa and work with wildlife there.
Amen. Amen. That's great. Caitlin, if you have participated in the Malone Student Scholarship here at this church, Caitlin is a recipient of that scholarship. So if you have given money to the Malone Student Scholarship or just given your tithes and offerings that have blessed Malone graduates or going to be graduates, you are seeing the byproduct of your faithful giftings to this church, because we had been given scholarships to you for a couple years now, maybe longer. Other Malone students who have graduated, like LG and others, have received that. So this is the recipient of one of the many awards that we have given, and we love you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. Now, our next graduate is a young lady that's been around our church for many years. You know who she is. She kind of like grew up here, right? She's kind of grown up here. We know her, and she's going to come up. So, Cross Point Church, welcome one of our longtime members, Kaylee Ward. Thank you. I remember when you were, you know, right?
I remember your high school graduation.
Yes, yes. Congrats.
Thank you.
We have a gift here for you. I would expect this to be read by next week.
Good. Thank you.
There'll be a quiz.
A long time of you waiting to give this to me.
Tell us where you're headed or what you're going to be doing.
Sure. So I am, well, I went to nursing school. I feel like that's kind of important to start. And I'm going to be on 4 North, which is a neuro step down unit at Altman.
I'll see you shortly.
Right. We're there all the time.
Stop in and see me.
Yep. You'll be there.
I'll be there.
I like my shots in this arm. Just like, you know.
Yeah.
All right. You went to school at Altman's actual college for nursing, right? You have a bachelor's of science in nursing now, right? So it goes, help me, it goes LPN, RN, which is 2 years. LPN's 1 year, right? RN is 2 years. BSN, Bachelor of Science in Nursing, is your 4 year,
yeah.
Right?
So, well, you can do ASN, which is 2 years.
Oh, okay. See, I don't know.
And
but
then you can do ASN, which is the 4.
You got the 4.
Yeah.
Great. That church, if you don't know anything about nursing, that's an accomplishment. Thank you so much. Thank you. Congrats. Thank you so much. We have another Bible to give away, right? I feel like this is the Price is Right, right? This is a young lady that has been around our church for a number of years. She's the one that has all the cutest kids running around. Jennifer White, would you come up and be recognized graduating today? This is a young lady that works a full-time job or almost a full-time job, goes to school full-time, and has full-time wife duties and full-time
mommy duties,
which is how many now? 6?
Yep.
6 kids. Let's just stop and pray, right? Right. Jennifer, thank you so much, and tell us what's going on with you and where you're headed.
Well, hopefully within the next week or so, we'll be moving into our new home. While I will still be continuing my graduate studies at Malone, I'm dual enrolled in their clinical mental health counseling and school counseling programs. And then I'm also searching for full-time employment in the mental health field right now, up in like the Warren or Akron area.
Okay. Now you have your undergrad degree exactly in?
Applied psychology.
Applied psychology. You told me the other day, you know, a couple weeks ago, you got to get a master's.
Yep.
And then you blew my mind. That's when I fainted out there. You said you were going to get a PhD.
I plan to. I'm most likely going to go with my PsyD instead of PhD,
okay.
But it's still
okay.
Same thing, same hours.
Oh, same hours.
It's
great.
Just a little bit less, I don't know, it's more focused on
on the psychology background.
If you need some teaching in time management, Jennifer will be doing classes here at Crosspoint Church on how to get that all done, right?
I'm failing at that every day.
Right. Jennifer, can I have a hug? Thank you so much. Congratulations. Now, church, we only had 3 graduates this year. I know that's kind of odd. We usually have more. So we decided to do something a little bit different today. My children's pastor, Amber Greenwald, contacted me a couple months ago and floated an idea by me, and I didn't know exactly how many graduates we were going to have. But since we only had 3, we decided to take up an idea here this year. We're going to just show you talk about a handful of people here. We have some kids, young kids. They're not graduating from one area to another as far as the accomplishment of a diploma type thing, but they are moving to the next level of education. So we just thought it would be kind of fun, and Pastor Christine put some things together, and we thought it would be kind of fun just to recognize a handful of people, young people, today. So we know that there's a few of them going from, I think, preschool to kindergarten. There's a couple of them, right? So Nava Brizard is going that direction, and so is our young lady, Lucy Snodgrass. Give them, right? Graduating, right? When our kids graduated, we did the cap and gown thing, and I think some of them are still doing that. They actually do cap and gown and diploma. We have a picture of one of our kids holding up his diploma when he's like 4, you know, in his cap and gown holding up his diploma. We have some going from kindergarten to first grade. Liam Baker and TJ Huffman are making that transition. Yes. We're hoping we didn't miss anybody, but I'm going to ask for that here in a second in case we did. Going now, this is the biggest graduation we have because it's going from CP Kids up to 6th grade to the youth program here at this church. Yeah, that's the youth, right. LG says, and her team says, we need more. They've got pushing 20 on a Wednesday night church. They got a huge youth program, especially for a church our size. But Jameson Baker, Logan Parsons, Isis Terrell, and Jay Terrell are going to make the trek up to youth from CP Kids here. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, did I miss or our team miss anybody? Is there anybody here that we did not recognize? If you did not see your name up there, is there anybody here? Oh, yes. Is that Janine? Oh, she starts, okay, what? Freshman in high school. Is she around here somewhere? Is she somewhere that she could stand up? Stand up. Is it Lindsay? Is that right? Kenzie. I saw, okay, Kenzie, could you stand for us, please? Yeah, you go. Thank you, Janine. Is there anybody else that we don't want to miss anybody. We tried our very best. But is there anybody else making the graduation to the next level of education? Is there anybody we missed? Yes, young lady. Okay. That's awesome. Give them praise for that. Yep. Awesome. Anybody else? We don't want to miss people. Anybody else? Now, if you are in your 70s and you're getting ready to graduate from the online academy, please let us know that because we certainly want to recognize you for that. If you're not graduated, then we're not going to recognize you today. But anybody else that's the young kids? Anybody else? All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, graduates. Thank you so much, kids. We appreciate you. Speaking of kids, I don't know if you were here this past week, but we are in partnership with Malone for Pioneer Camp on the day, throughout the days, on Monday through Thursday, and I came over and the place was packed with kids. We're launching VBS here in a couple weeks, day camp, really, and the place was packed, and I decided to go counting, right? Well, counting younger kids screaming and yelling, running around the church is really hard. But I'm going to tell you, church, what a blessing. We are partnered with Malone on day camp, and we had probably somewhere around, 140 kids in this building. Okay? Ashley Gray is leading a team to teach a faith-based curriculum throughout the summer. And that class had like 20 to 22 alone on Tuesday, and then probably on Thursday for the launch. You are making an impact, church, on the year of impact. So thank you so much for doing that. Thank you. Again, thank you for showing up today here in the house, on Facebook, on YouTube, on the online campus at cpoint.church, on the podcast you're going to listen to throughout the week. We are in a summer series called Summer Recharge. Look behind us. It says summer. Are we excited? It's summer. We are excited. You came into this church for the first time. You walked into a church that is alive in Jesus Christ. But we believe that there is a thing called being recharged and refilled, and that's what Pentecost Sunday is all about. We're going to talk about that. The series is recharging isn't about doing nothing. It's about doing what reconnects us to the source. The source is Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about spiritual rest is the result of laying down the burdens of guilt and fear and self-effort. That means I can do it myself. And finding peace in God's presence, promises, pace, and pattern. We talked about that, right? Last week was a message called Rhythms of Recharge. Rhythms of Recharge. Spiritual rest comes three ways. It comes relationally. That's your rest you get by being connected to Jesus, right? It's found in Christ. Jesus never said, go do more work. Jesus said, come to me. Jesus said, come to me. And we talked about restorative rest. Goodness. I just call it reset. I call it reset rest. That's starting over. It brings peace to your anxiety. It brings clarity to your chaos. What's chaos? All that stuff that goes on in our head of demands and decisions and pressures. The pressures the graduates just talked about. The pressure of writing the student loan payment that's going to start here very shortly, right? All those pressures. That reset rest. And how do you do that? We talked about Psalm 46:10. I love this scripture because I do it often. Just be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes, church, you just need to be still and reset. This is something I do often. I just want to be still, sit in the presence of heaven, and don't think about anything, don't do anything, and just let God speak to me. Just let him reset me a little bit. The message was on rhythmic rest. That is the pace and the pattern. God built into our lives pace and patterns of resting, right? We talked about that. Jesus had a pattern of withdrawing on a regular basis to rest and pray. It was a thing that he did. He wanted to be renewed. He didn't just crash when he was exhausted, like many of us do. He scheduled rhythms of recharging. He built those into his life. Without a rhythm, rest becomes what I called last week reactionary. We only stop when we collapse. We only slow down when we can't go on anymore. Or rest becomes refillable. We fill up just enough to get us going through the next day, next week, next month, because we're just at the E. We're dry. And we just do enough to get us going. I taught you a few rhythms of rest last week. I talked about the daily things like Jesus did. Build that into your day, whatever it is. You build that in. I build in a time of prayer, time of devotion, a time of just sitting, being still. Let God speak to me. I talked to you about maybe a weekly rhythm, whatever. You're sitting in a weekly rhythm of rest. You come in to get recharged on a Sunday morning. You come in to let God speak to you and fill you and touch you and move you out to the week. It's a rhythm of recharge, right? We do the same on a Wednesday night. I talked about a seasonal rhythm, some type of retreat, some type of situation to recalibrate, to go. The women's conference we have here, or the many conferences that the Ohio Ministry Network of the Assemblies of God have each year, you know, Synergy to School of the Spirit to whatever. You can go to these conferences and get recharged, right? Today, we're going to talk about spiritual dehydration. Now, many of us know what dehydration means. Did you know that 60% of your body is made up of water? Now, Kaylee Ward could tell us more about that because she's the nurse, right? Kaylee, is it 60% or somewhere? Am I close? She says yes. She says she'll see me after church. Okay, so she'll teach me. But it's about 60%. What happens if you go below 60%? What happens? You start to get dehydrated. Now, if you've ever been dehydrated, you know it's a little rough. You don't feel so good, right? I have been dehydrated many times. And let me tell you something, it's not pleasant. If you've never been dehydrated, don't do it. Because God created your body to have so much water. And you have to have it. And if you don't get it, you got to refill to get it. You got to sustain your human body, right? It's something you have to do. You need water to constantly survive. Well, let me tell you a story about a young lady that was running in the 1984 Olympics. You don't remember the 84 Olympics too much, but you remember the story. You'll remember the story. There was a young lady running the marathon. What's a marathon? What, 26.2 miles of running? I mean, that just gets me exhausted talking about it, right? I don't think, Pastor Mike, I could get to a mile or two. I mean, yeah, we'd be going off to Starbucks or something, whatever. We'd never make it. This young lady from Switzerland, her name is Gabriella Anderson Size. Maybe that doesn't mean much to you, but the story will. So she's running 26 miles. And if you remember how they do Olympics, they run out in the community and then they come to the stadium and the finish line's in the stadium. Back in 1984, I think it's the same today. They come back into the stadium. Well, right before she entered the stadium, there is what's called a refilling station. You've seen it on TV, folks. The runners will run and these people would hand them, hold like out water, right? Or a bottle of water. And they're allowed to grab it, but they have to keep running. Or they could stop and get behind, right? She testifies that she was coming in and she thought, I don't need to be refilled. I don't need the water. The stadium is right there. I'm okay. I can make it. I'm going to make it. The problem is she bypassed the refilling station. She didn't get refilled. And as she entered the stadium, she started to dehydrate massively. And all of a sudden, her body started not to respond. And if you ever saw the pictures of this lady going into the stadium and trying to go around the track, her body starts to give out. And it starts to, like, not respond. And she starts to be like this, and her arms and her legs, and she can't because there's not enough water in her body to sustain her. The dehydration took over so violently that she has basically started to shut down. She barely made it to the finish line, but she finished 37th that day. It would have been better, but she didn't hit the refilling station. Because she had this attitude that I can do it myself. And you can go out today or tomorrow throughout this week and look up the story, watch the YouTube videos, and you can see like the mini convulsions in her body trying to get by. She wasn't allowed to accept medical treatment. As the medical personnel, I've watched the video, they wanted to come up and tend to her. They knew what was going on, and she didn't want to because as soon as she takes medical treatment, she's disqualified. But you take water, but you cannot take medical treatment. Isn't that just like heaven, right? On this Pentecost Sunday. See, many of us are doing the exact same thing spiritually, folks, running the race of life without pausing at the refilling station. We're pushing harder and harder, but inside we're spiritually dehydrated. And today is Pentecost Sunday. Today is God's promise that you don't ever have to run dry. You don't have to run dry. And Pastor Mike and I, we talked about Pentecost Sunday. It's in your bulletin as well. You know, there is a celebration, a Hebrew celebration that celebrated Pentecost. Pentecost is the Greek word. Shavuot is the Hebrew word. It's Feast of the Weeks, Passover, right? Feast of the Weeks. So that's a pilgrimage celebration. That means the people had to come into the city. They had to, all of them had to travel. It's one of the, what, the three of them. And they had to travel. So it was really full, right? It was very full. Lots of people in town. You probably have read the scriptures, and let's just dive in because it was Pentecost celebration. In Acts 2, 1 through 4, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, that's the celebration. But then it transitions to what we celebrate today. They were all together in one place. Remember, Jesus said, go into the city and wait for the promise of the Father. So they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven that filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. We believe that, folks. We believe that. 50 days after Easter, or 50 days after Jesus, back in biblical times, right? The day of Pentecost. We celebrate that today. What is Pentecost? It's a refilling station when we're spiritually dehydrated. It's time to at least give us once a year, but you could do it every day. What's the significance? It's the birth of the church. It's the birth of the church that you're sitting in, the church of Jesus Christ today. The Spirit of God came in to indwell inside of people. To do what? Two things. To empower them and then set them out for a mission. Everybody here today and everybody watching online, you are on a mission whether you realize it or not. And God empowered us to be on a mission. What's the mission, Pastor? To reach people. And God gave you power to do that. And then there is a promise there that you will never face spiritual dehydration again, because God's power, His Spirit, will always be available to hydrate you, to fill you. Pentecost is not just a historic event. It's an invitation for spiritual rehydration and revival. Just as the physical dehydration weakens your body, spiritual dehydration weakens your soul. But through the Holy Spirit, which is the living water, we are invited to be filled, sustained, and empowered by God's presence, power, and purpose. And 8 centuries before Jesus was a prophet named Isaiah. And Isaiah wrote a book, and it starts to point towards the day of Pentecost. It starts to point towards Jesus. Let me read to you Isaiah 44:3. It goes like this: "For I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring, my blessings on your descendants." Boy, what a promise, church. God is reassuring His people back then that He's not forgotten about them, that He's going to restore them, redeem them, fill them, change them, transform them. But it mentions water on thirsty land. Israel was dry. They weren't living in Canton, Ohio. We're not dry around here, right? Someone say amen. We're just not dry, right? It's always raining, right? Right? Someone say, I want some dry weather, right? Israel was a little dry. Water symbolized life, abundance, and blessing. That scripture talks about dry ground, desolation, lifelessness. What are they talking about? They're talking about dehydration, lack of water, right? And then he mentions, pour out my Spirit. It's prophetically talking about looking ahead. It's prophetically talking about there's going to be an outpouring of Holy Ghost power. God promises to revive us when we're spiritually dry. It's a foreshadowing to Acts chapter 2. Isaiah 44, God promised to pour out streams of living water on the dry ground. Yeah, physical water. But it's also foreshadowing, looking at Acts chapter 2, saying, not only will I take care of your physical need and you won't be dehydrated physically, I'm going to pour out water too, but I'm really going to pour out living water. And it's coming. It's coming. Acts chapter 2, Jesus promised to pour out that living water to all those who believe, right? Remember the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman that we talked about? Jesus is going through Samaria, you know, and all his friends saying, you can't be going through there, right? We have our differences. The Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't get along. Jesus, I don't care. You know, He finds this woman at the well. She's coming out to draw water from the town and meets Jesus. Remember that story? And the conversation starts right about physical water. Isn't it just like Jesus to have a sit down with you and start speaking to you? You're not going to really hear that unless you're being still and knowing that he is God. But she didn't know that. But there's a conversation that happened. Isn't that funny how it happens around water? It's like us Pentecostals, we do it around food, right? And he has this conversation. He says, you know, that water that you're going to drink. I think Jesus knew she was kind of like an outcast. He knew that. The Bible says, I believe it says, what, the height of the day, around 12 noon. It's a little warm, right? It's hot. She's coming out to get some water. And he says, will you get some for me as well? And so they have this conversation. And, you know, the story goes, remember, if you take of this water, you know, it'll quench your thirst, but it's only temporary. But what I'm going to give you is eternal. He's talking spiritual hydration, church. He's talking about, I'm going to fill you. In Acts chapter 2, when the power of God falls, that's going to be a filling. That's going to be a filling. Like that marathon runner who collapsed from dehydration, many of us are spiritually dehydrated. We're just pushing through life empty. And how do you recognize that spiritual dehydration in our lives? How do we know? You know, our faith starts to get a little dull. We aren't as excited as we used to be. We have maybe a loss of compassion for people that aren't as fortunate as ourselves. And maybe we just start becoming what I call spiritually numb. And then there's a word that I put in there, and it's called complacency. We just don't have the same vigor we used to have. We become complacent in our faith, and that's dangerous spiritual dehydration. See, spiritual dehydration leads to spiritual fatigue, where we end up doing life exhausted, burned out, weak, and vulnerable. Let's go back 6 centuries before Jesus and talk about Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 2:13, he makes this proclamation, my people have committed 2 sins. This is God speaking, of course, to Jeremiah. They have forsaken me. Back then, as you remember, we've used Jeremiah before. We've talked about him. God's people were just not where they should be, like some of us are today. We're not where we should be. And he says, the spring of living water. Some of you have dug your own cisterns. Broken cisterns that cannot hold water. See, back then, church, they had this thing of building these underground cisterns really in the rock. It would be a process, right? They would store water down there. You had to make sure there was no cracks. Because all the water you would put in there for storage, because it's dry. Remember, I told you, it's dry. They store water. They had to have water for the future. They would store it down there. Today, you go through a city, you see it on a tank way up high. Or back then, they would put it in a cistern underneath. And God's speaking, you know, you put the water in there. And he's really making this transition from the water, the living water, pardon me, the physical water to the living water in the scripture. And he's talking to them about, you know, some of you have built your own cistern in your own life. You're not coming to me anymore for refilling. You're not coming to me anymore to be hydrated. He's talking about, listen, you got to hear this. You're building your own cistern. What's the cistern? Your own cistern is your own, relying on your own self, your own life, your own way. I can do it myself. Remember, I talked about that last week. I can do it myself. I don't need God. That's exactly what was going on back then. And God is saying, listen, your cistern, your way has leaks. It leaks water. You need to come to me to get filled, right? He's talking about that. He's using that metaphor. Many of us do that today, church. We build our own cistern, our own way, and it leaks. It leaks. They're broken, they're cracked, they're leaking, they're unable to hold water. See, it's a call to stop relying on human substitutes and return to the living water of God himself. God is calling us to be refilled. Hosea 6:1 says it like this, come, let us return to the Lord. What does that mean? Let us return to the source of living water. to be refilled. Church, Jesus said it like this in John 7:37 through 39. Let anyone who is thirsty, let anyone. Is there anybody thirsty here today besides your pastor? Is there anyone thirsty today? Because it says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. The opportunity is there. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water flows from within them. Anybody want living water to flow within you today? By this, he's meaning the Spirit. Those who believed in him, who were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given up since Jesus had not been glorified. Jesus is teaching the public people, right? If memory serves me correctly, this is another celebration. The Feast of Tabernacle, I believe. It's the Tabernacle, right? Pastor Mike, am I right about that? They're celebrating. Another big festival is what it is, right? And there's he's got all these people, so he's got a captive audience. And so he starts talking about him, living water to be poured out. And I am that, he says, right? This festival was all about the celebration, if my memory serves me correctly, about how God delivered them throughout the wilderness, how he sustained them, and they celebrate that. They celebrate God's victory in their lives, right? And Jesus is talking in John, he's talking towards Acts chapter 2, that day of Pentecost. Here the Holy Spirit didn't just recharge the disciples, it empowered them, as I talked about. Just like our bodies are 60% water, we must replenish our spirits because they're designed to be refilled as well. That's called the recharge, the summer recharge series, to recharge us. What happens, Pastor, when we're recharged? You are re-empowered. You're re-empowered. I don't know, maybe it's just me. I want to be re-empowered. Lord, re-empower me for the next season. Church, the Holy Spirit is just not a one-time sip. It's an ongoing, overflowing, refilling, pouring out. And it's amazing to your pastor sometimes that some people will just struggle when I say to them, you can be refilled, you can be recharged. All you have to do is do what we do on Pentecost Sunday, but you don't have to wait till Pentecost Sunday. We just celebrate it on Pentecost Sunday, but the power of God can refill you and recharge you whenever you do what they did on Acts chapter 2. For those who believed, they did it, which you'll see here in a second. I've already talked about that. You're sitting here today and watching online, you have this opportunity to plug into heaven. If you're struggling with something today, you have the opportunity to be recharged right to heaven. You have the opportunity to be refilled. You have the opportunity to take that situation in your life that you need a recharge or change or refill and do it today. You don't have to sit there in agony. You don't have to struggle. God is always available to pour out his power into your life. And that day, they didn't all accept it, as I mentioned already. They didn't accept it. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, reads like this. Those who accepted the message. Peter comes out, powerful preaching. Yeah, the guy that denied Jesus three times is going to start preaching a sermon. And it says, for those who accepted that message. It's just like on a Sunday morning when you come into the church here. Some of us leave and say, wow, pastor hit me right between the eyes. And others say, that's the best you got. Some didn't accept it, right? But those that didn't accept it, it's those that did. Those who accepted the message, what happens? They were baptized 2 weeks from today. Those who accepted the message will be baptized here at this church. And then about 3,000 were added to the number that day. Can you see it? God pours out his power like this rushing wind that fills the room. Tongues of fire falls on people. Lives are transformed and changed. Excuse me. Peter starts preaching. Those are listening. Some are accepting and some are not. What happens next, Pastor? What happened after that? Acts 2, 42 through 47. those who accepted the message, they devoted themselves to the apostles, devoted themselves to teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Signs and wonders showed up. Not by the apostles, by the power of heaven. Get ready. They sold their property. They sold their possessions to give to anyone who had a need. Today, we call that a tithe and an offering. God calls you to sell everything you have and give it to the needy. Then you sell everything you have and give it to the needy. But God has instituted this thing called a tithes and offerings, and you can be blessed and do what God's called us to do, give of your tithe and your offering. I challenge you once again, church, as I do many times, if you're not doing that here at Cross Point Church, God commanded us to do it. You're missing out on the supernatural blessing on your finances. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. Every day, they continue to meet together in the temple courts. Oh, my gosh. Church is tomorrow on Monday at Cross Point Church. I'll see you at 1 o'clock. And then we'll meet at Tuesday at 1 o'clock, and we're going to do that every day. Pastor's crazy. They broke bread in their homes. That's right, they got together. They went to each other's homes. They had small group meetings. That is the early church. They ate together. They were glad, and they had sincere hearts. They wanted to be together. They wanted to be at each other's homes. They wanted to fellowship. And if they saw a need in somebody's home, they wrote a check. They just helped them. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together. They were glad, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. God added to the number. Church, our calling is to let the living water overflow in us out to a thirsty world around us. There's an invitation to be rehydrated. The invitation is in Revelation 22, 17. It says, let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life come. Come and get it. It's available. I pour it out to you, but you have to come. Just as the disciples were filled and transformed, that could be you. Church, if you're feeling spiritually dry today, know this. Pentecost is God's answer to your spiritual dehydration. You can meet with the pastors all you want. We can pray over you all you want. We do that. We love it. We'll do whatever we can do. But I tell you what, there's nothing that will substitute an outpouring of God in your life. When he starts to pour his power into you, I can't counsel you there. Pastor Mike can't counsel you there. We can't compete. We don't want to compete. You have the ability to plug in. And I'm going to give you that ability here in a second. Church, if you're feeling spiritually dehydrated, it's not because the source has dried up, but maybe you drifted far from the well. The invitation is simple. Come, drink deeply, and let your soul be recharged this summer. Church, our worship team is going to start singing Living God. And I challenge you right now to get out of your pew. You come down, raise your hand, reach to heaven, and do exactly what they did in the upper room. They waited till the promise of the Father showed up. Join with me, church. Hallelujah.